Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast. We're Trey and Lee Morgan.
Glad y'all are here with us.
Thank you for joining us. We are back on schedule and staying on track like we're supposed to. Thank y'all for listening to our podcast.
We say that. Well, we really are going to try. We're trying to.
But we are.
Yeah.
We've done three in a row.
Yes.
Every other week, yes, we're podcasting.
We're getting back on track. We're finding our routine now that we're settled into Lubbock. And so, yeah, we're finally figuring out a routine.
Thank you all for being patient with us and joining us and listening so well. For all those who follow us or give us ratings, leave good comments, thank you. It just helps to get out the message of healthy marriages a little bit more, and we appreciate that. When you share our stuff on social media and share our podcast, all we're doing is trying to get the message out about how to have good, healthy marriages.
Yes.
So today we're talking balancing work and marriage, which is kind of a tough thing to do because we have some couples that would we have some couples that are retired. I don't know that would really fit them, but most couples have one or both spouses working outside the home.
Yeah, we got this idea. We were visiting with a couple that came up to us after our workshop just this past weekend, and just made the comment about, you know, I don't even know what we were talking about in the workshop that sparked the comment, but she was talking about her work and not, you know, she struggled not to bring it home, and not in the way of the actual work itself, but in the way she treated her spouse. So we're going to get there. We're going to talk about that, but that was what, you know, I told Trey, I said, okay, well, there you go. There's an episode for us that I think we probably have not ever talked about and would be helpful for some couples to hear.
Yeah, just how to balance your work and your marriage and family, I guess you could put it that way. We work and that's important, but how do we balance that out? Because family should be more important, marriage should be more important, but how do we balance that we're making sure that we're not, our family and marriage isn't suffering because we're putting too much in at work, or vice versa, I guess you could even say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first one, you ready to kick it off?
I am. Let's go.
All right. So the first one is that, like with everything else, we need to create some boundaries. We need to create some safeguards, put some things into place to make sure that you're not spending more time on work at home than you should be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We want to just make sure that boundaries are on everything, but you just want to have boundaries on, and that just means you communicate these things. You ask your spouse, I mean, a lot of people will work till 5, and you have to work till 5, but then again, if you're bringing 2 or 3 hours of work home,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
if I come home and go straight to the bedroom to work or an office to work or something, then that's not a very healthy thing.
Right. There are some professions that you can't get around this, but you need to discuss with your spouse maybe some timing, like when would be a good time for me to get this work done that I need to do,
yeah,
at home. If you do have to, best case scenario, don't work at home, leave it at home. But if you're a school teacher and you need to grade some papers, or, you know, whatever it is, if you need to make phone calls, whatever. Communicate with your spouse about that, and, you know, ask them how much, you know, does it bother you how much time I spend working at home? Is there a better time for me to do this? Maybe, you know,
when I first come home, or that's really probably not the time, or while we're watching TV together, is that something that we can do? But just figure out a time. When is the best time? If I'm going to do a little bit of work at home, you might come home and have some time with your spouse before you just immediately come home and go straight to work some more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just really, and that includes a computer, that includes your phone. You know, sometimes you just have to set it down and go, hey, I'm home and I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
And that's a and that may be a thing where one spouse has an issue more than another. Like, I may be thinking to myself, I don't have a problem. You know, it's no big deal to bring my work home a little bit, and my spouse over here may be going, you don't realize how much you're bringing home.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have that communication.
Right.
And then there's some people who work in fields that may be high pressure, and they have a hard time turning off work when they come home.
They do, but I'm going to jump back to
go ahead to
the phone part and to the laptop part or the whatever. Make sure that, you know, that phone does not have to be in your hand 24/7. And there's going to be times when you come home, you need to set it down. You need to spend some time with your wife. You need to spend some time with your children. You need to sit down at the dinner table and not look at your phone. It's okay to go 30 minutes without answering a message, without answering a phone call. That is okay. You can get back to that stuff at whatever time you've set aside to do that. But you've got to have those boundaries in place where, hey, this is my time now with my family, and that phone, that laptop, whatever, can, it's going to stay right over there, and I'm not going to pay attention to it for this set amount of time.
You may have to put it on the do not disturb.
Yes.
And not worry about, just, you know, I heard it buzzing it. And I heard all this sort of stuff. We did that. I did that today at lunch while we had lunch with a couple. And my thought when I got back to my vehicle was, oh my goodness, there's going to be 100 people looking for me. And I had zero messages and nobody was looking for me.
Yeah. Yeah, but it, you know, it's kind of nice every once in a while for your phone to be on silent or do not disturb. I think it might have been yesterday morning. Mine was accidentally still. I had left it on do not disturb from the night before when I got up. I forgot to turn on my sound. And I don't keep my phone on me where I feel it vibrate or anything. So I depend on my little ringtone or whatever, message tone. And it had just been the quietest morning. I had gotten so much done. I wasn't answering messages or whatever. And I went in and thought, you know, I guess I ought to see what time Trey's coming home for lunch or if he's coming home today. And went in there and I had all these messages.
Including mine.
Yeah. Several messages. But it was real, you know, and the world did not come to an end because I didn't answer those messages as soon as they came through. It was fine. Yeah, it's good to keep that phone on silent and not listen to every single message that comes across.
Maybe we should just stop the podcast here and call it a day.
Maybe so.
Maybe we'll just call this "Turn Your Phone Off" for a while.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah, you're better at that than
everyone.
I am.
Good for everyone. Yes, it is good for everyone.
I answered a text message while we're actually in the middle of this podcast a while ago. While you were talking, I thought, well, I could let this guy know that I'll holler at him in a little while.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we'll just I'm convicted. sing a quick song of the invitation song, and I'll repent. So
go back to people who have certain professions that need to leave their work.
Sometimes you may be in a high stress position to where you have a lot of people that are under you, and maybe you are in charge and you have to boss people around, or a high pressure job, a policeman, something to where you've got to be able to turn that off when you come home. I had a friend that worked in the prison system, and he finally quit the job and moved, or quit the job and took another job. And it was a great job, but he did it because he couldn't leave work at work. And he would come home and find himself being short with his family, or being harsh with them because he's had to deal with guys who needed to be harsh with all day long. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't do that. And I remember thinking that's a good dad and a good husband right there that is willing to make that move.
Yes.
So just create some clear boundaries.
Yeah. And that was the whole, point, the whole idea behind this. The young lady that came to us and commented about her workplace, she's a chef. And so she works, you know, she said, I have a lot of people that work under me and I'm constantly telling people what to do. And she said, I have a hard time, you know, when I come home, not just bossing and telling everybody what to do. And so you've got to be careful of that. You've got to be aware that you're doing it. And, you know, really maybe when you pull up into your driveway, you need to have a little minute of silence before you go in and go, okay, I'm taking off the chef hat or the prison guard hat or the elementary teacher hat. I don't want to talk to my husband like he's a kindergartner.
That's a good point.
You're going to take those hats off and you're going to put on, this is my wife, this is my mom hat.
I can just now envision the kindergartner teacher come in and telling her husband, hey, sit down, crisscross applesauce, and let's talk for a little while, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
that might confuse him a little bit. So, but create some boundaries. Another thing that we can do is be deliberate. Now, what that means, and it really kind of feeds into the first one, is when you're home, you got to be deliberate at being at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that means I'm going to, whether it's setting down a phone or whatever else, it's we're going to take a little time tonight to just sit down and visit a little bit. We're going to sit down and figure out, are we having enough time? When's the best time to have? Mm-hmm. Is it after we get the kids down for bed? Is it in the mornings, do we get up and have coffee together before we go to work? When is it that we can do that? Be deliberate at spending time together.
Yes, be very deliberate with your time. And maybe it's, you know, if you have to bring work home, maybe you could work it where you only do that one night a week. You know, maybe you can leave it at the office every other time, but you can, you know, maybe just say, okay, Tuesday night, that's going to be my work night. But yeah, whatever it is, be deliberate, communicate with your spouse about it. You know, you got to figure out, sit down and ask your spouse, are we spending enough time together when we're home after work?
Yeah.
And the same for your children. You know, are you giving your children some one-on-one time? And that's important to communicate. You may think that you're doing great. Your spouse may say, I don't think we're getting as much time as we should be getting.
When you come home from work, you got to have more than 4 minutes, which is the average amount a couple gets per day. That's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so some quality time of just being able to go sit on the porch together, go sit down and have a cup of coffee together. This is where you go on, make sure you're going on dates. Go for a walk. A lot of times we do that. We'll come in and we'll go for a walk. Phone mm-hmm. stay in your pocket
yeah,
or stay at the house.
It's really hard to walk and text or whatever. And so we feel like we have undivided attention. I mean, we're just killing so many birds with one stone. We're talking, we're exercising, we're, you know, it's just, it's walking. Going for a walk is good for marriages.
Just a good time.
Yes,
good
it
chance.
Is.
Third point that we'll talk about for a second is making wise career choices.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is sometimes we tend to always base career choices on, will I make more money here? Or will I have a better position here? Will my salary be more here? Will I have more benefits here? And sometimes your wise career choice may be, will I get more family time and home time?
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter-in-law went through this not long ago when she started looking at another job, and her job found out about it and said, oh, we don't want to lose you. What do we have to do to keep you? And she said, I need more time at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked with her to get her another day free.
Right. Changed her hours a little bit.
Mm-hmm. She worked a little bit longer hours during the other days so she could be home. And the point was it's not always about, can I make more salary? But sometimes it's about, how can I get more time with my family, more time at home, more time and opportunity to be with them? And so, if the cost of getting this big raise takes you away from your family, it's actually probably not worth it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
The old phrase, there's an old myth.
You had an illustration there, and I was like, that's your story.
No, I'll go back and talk about that in a second.
Yes, absence doesn't make the heart grow fonder. You know, you may think, well, I'm doing all this work, I'm away from my family, and when I come home, they're going to be so happy to see me. But sometimes they get used to you not being around.
Yeah.
And
I had a buddy like that one time, and he came in, sit down in my office, and he said, I'm getting ready to take another job. It'll pay me twice of what I'm making. I said, well, congratulations. And I said, where is it? And he said, well, it's, 6-8 hours away. And I said, when are you and your family moving? He said, we're not. I'm moving. They're going to stay. And I said, oh, that's not really good, is it? And he said, hey, we're fine. We're going to be okay. And I'll see them about every 3 or 4 weeks for the weekend. And I remember just telling him, hey, you need to rethink this. You can't be gone for 3 weeks out of the month or 4 weeks out of the month and be home for a weekend and expect things just to go real well. And his response literally was, but I'll be making twice as much money as what I'm making here. And a year later, he took the job. And a year later, he came back in my office and said that was the worst decision he ever made. As his marriage was struggling, they were separating. It just was not good. And as Lee said, absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Be cautious about your quote-unquote career choices, because a higher salary, a better position may not be worth it if it means you're gone from your family all the time.
That's right. Now, we understand that the military is a whole other set of circumstances.
Sure.
And we may have to do an episode on that at some
point. If you're in the military or have a spouse in the military, we just want to say thank you for what your family does. We understand that a little bit. We've got some military family experience, and you just have to work extra hard at connecting when you can connect through things like FaceTime and text messages and everything else.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's do the next little point that we can do to balance our work and marriage.
Yeah. So be interested in your spouse's work. We're talking about, you know, not bringing your work home and all of this stuff. But when we're talking about balancing work and marriage, you need to be interested in what each other does.
Yeah, we don't want separate lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to ask, how's work? Man, I would think sometimes if you've worked all day, maybe the last thing you want to do is hear about more work. But to be able to ask your spouse, how's work going, what's going on at work, and to be interested is probably such a blessing, because it connects you when you're not together. It makes you connect even though you hadn't been together all day, and you can ask, hey, how's that project you're working on, or how's this that you've been working on, whatever it is. And so be interested in your spouse's work, whatever it is that they're doing. And if your spouse asks you about your work, you may be going, Why do you need to know what I do at work? They probably just want to connect with you, and you need to do a good job connecting with them.
Yes. It's important to support your spouse and be interested in their work as much as you are your own. So,
okay.
Yes.
So let's get into some hard stuff here. Are you ready for this next one?
Okay. So balancing work and marriage, we're going to talk about dividing household chores.
Yes. that's not always an easy thing, especially for people who grew up in homes where, let's just say, maybe my dad came home from work and all I saw was him come home and he didn't do anything at home. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much was just the one that let his wife do. Maybe his wife didn't work or worked. My dad, in our home, my mom generally worked about half a day. So she took quick care of a lot of stuff. But that's not always the case these days.
Yeah, it was the same in my family. You know, dad would come home and he'd be tired and he'd sit in his recliner and he would rest, and mom would cook supper, and she would clean up the dishes and, you know, help kids with homework. And I can remember my dad occasionally helping me with math, though. I don't think mom was so great at math, so sometimes dad would get the math duties. But, but you know, you tend to go into marriage with those same expectations that you grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
But we're finding that in this day and age, most husbands and wives are working outside the home. Both parties are working outside the home. And you just can't, guys, if you're the guy, you can't, maybe you worked a really long, hard job. You just can't come sit in your recliner for the rest of the evening. If your wife also worked, was on her feet all day, and then expect her to do all of the cooking, you know, cleaning up the dishes, getting the kids bathed, getting their homework done, getting them in bed. And I mean, just you go down all the list of things. Maybe there's laundry to be done. And
That's probably going to require some conversation of what are the things that I can do, what are the things that you can do, and how can we balance this out really well. Yeah. Because nobody wants to come home from work and their sole responsibility is now housework without getting some help from your spouse.
Right. But I think that younger people are doing a good job at this. You know, they just go into marriage knowing, hey, we're both gonna help out around the house. We're both working, so
we can both learn to load a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. We can both learn to run a vacuum.
It's like you just figure out, hey, I'll do the cooking if you clean up, and or vice versa. So just whatever it is, you got to communicate about that and split the chores.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we want you to understand that your marriage and family are more important than your career. We understand everybody needs to go to work and everybody's got to support their family. But just don't sacrifice your family on the altar of work and career. You know, it's just so important that we become people who realize at the end of your life, it's not going to be the career and the work that makes you successful. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the marriage. And I had a man one time that asked me, he said, I'm trying to open a second business. And He said, this would bless us in so many ways. And I said, that sounds great. I'm proud of you. And he said, but I've got issues with it. And I said, financial? And he said, no. He said, I'm already struggling to find my time at home with one store open. And if I open a second store, I'm going to be gone even more. But I'm trying to get my wife to understand, if I can do this for 10 or 12 years, then I can be home a whole lot more. And I remember telling him that no matter how many stores you open, and no matter how much money you make, and no matter how successful you are at your business or your career, if you lose your marriage and family in the end, no matter how successful you were, you failed. Because that should have come first.
Yeah.
And we don't always do that very well.
Yeah, we tend to measure success with dollar signs. And that's not the case in a Christian household.
You get to end of your life and you're in a casket. What you once said about you is that you loved God, that you loved your spouse, and you loved your kids. And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Nothing else really, really matters. Those are the things in life that matter. Nobody's going to get up there and talk about how much money you got in your bank account, what kind of houses you lived in, what kind of cars you drove. What will matter is how you loved God and how you loved your spouse and how you loved your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the end of your life.
Yeah.
No one says, go ahead.
Nobody's going to say, I wish I would have spent more time in the office. Yeah. Right? No.
At the end of your life, I've never met a person in their 80s or 90s go, I wish I'd have spent more time in the office.
Mm-hmm.
On your deathbed, you're not going to say that. But what you will say is there are times where you'll say, I wish I'd have had more time with my kids or with my spouse. Yeah. Or I wish I'd have done more. Wish I'd have taken the trip. Take the trip. Do some fun things. And those are the things that you'll remember in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So balance your marriage. Balance your work and do a good job with that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that just reminded me of a story about the guy that, you know, he decided he just could not go on the family trip with his family.
Oh,
he
had I forgot to work. That was great.
Remember that?
Yes.
You know, because I'm probably going to botch it, but
oh, I got this.
You know,
you take off. Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they actually had a family trip planned.
Yeah.
Every little detail mapped out. I think mom was the top A planner, and she had everything planned out. And something came up at work where an emergency, and they told him, look, you got to stay. And he said, babe, I'll fly out and meet you in California where we're going to go. But you got to go. You got to leave tomorrow with the kids on the road trip because it's all planned out. So she left, and they weren't just real happy with each other. But the long story short, he got off really earlier than he thought he did, and he decided to fly not to California, but about halfway where he knew the car was going to be because his wife planned to be there to eat a meal at such and such on Thursday at noon. And he got out there on the road with his thumb up, at just the right time at like 11:30, knowing his wife would be coming around the corner. Sure enough, she was. Stuck out his thumb with his bag and wheeled down the car to go.
All the kids were like, hey, that
looks like Dad.
That looks like Dad.
Yeah, and the kids to this day still talk about how special that was that Dad said, no, I got off early and I'm gonna get to my family early.
Right.
So yeah, do everything you can to make those family memories because those are the things that people remember.
Yes. Yeah. So just a little quick bonus story that we threw.
There
in
you
there.
Go. There
y'all
you
have
go.
A great rest of your
y'all
week.
Y'all do. Hey, all you folks who came to Kaufman, Texas, thank y'all for coming to that workshop. It was packed.
It was a great workshop.
The Landmark Church of Christ did a fantastic job of putting that on, and it was a packed house. We met so many amazing couples, so many different states. People that had flown in from Florida, from Belize,
yes.
Central America. Yeah, we're going to be Dewey, Oklahoma is next, and we're excited about that. So if you live in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri, right there.
Dewey is north of Tulsa, if that helps you out to know where that is. So make plans to join us in about a month, and yeah, that'd be great.
Have a blessed day. See y'all.
Bye.